Good evening and
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pearls of Power. My name is Tracy Harding and I am ministering the word for this evening. I am so glad to be here with you. I'm so glad to be discussing our topic for today. I'm going to go over the Lord's Supper again with us because we are in what the Christians call Holy Week. We are right in the middle of it. When our Lord was in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and he was facing just hours ahead, he was facing his death, a brutal death. And this entire week, Jews may call it Passover week. Christians and Catholics call it Holy Week, whatever you want to call it. It is the highest holiday of Christianity because of what happened and the significance of it. Holy Week. If you haven't been taught this, or if you don't know, you can start right now. It's good to know this. It's Holy Week. It should be a time of reflecting on what the Lord has done. Just thinking about it, meditating on it. My suggestion to you is perhaps reading the accounts that are documented in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, of our Lord's passion, of his suffering and his death. This is just what I do, and it's a suggestion. What I've done to this week, I've taken Friday off. I put in my notice. I won't be here Friday. Now, you may not be able to do that, and that's fine, but when you have time or you should set aside some time, I've taken Friday off. I intend to spend that day just giving that entire day to the Lord in prayer and reading the Word of God. And I plan to watch The Passion of the Christ, which is, I think, a very good account of what happened to our Lord. And so just spending that time in the presence of God, and that is how I reflect on what the Lord has done. You can choose to do, you know, what was best for you. I'm simply making a suggestion. But I do highly suggest to show your respect and your reverence for what the Lord has done for us, that you do take some time to set aside and just reflect, to think about, to read the scriptures, and to just give God thanks for what he has done. That is what he wants from you right now. During this time of year, he wants to thank you. Because it was not a coincidence that Jesus died during this time of year. It is a direct correlation with the Jewish Passover, where they sacrificed the lamb that was to be slain. They look forward to being slain for their sins. And so, in God's timing, he aligned it right with that time to send the true lamb, and that lamb being Jesus, to die for our sins. So during Holy Week, just take some time, maybe you can, you know, fast a meal, fast for half a day, fast a whole day, whatever, you know, wherever you're at in your walk with God, but set some time over to observe what he has done. I want to talk to you about the Lord's Supper and how the Lord's Supper came, but you also need some background on how the Lord's Supper and Passover, how they all intertwine, how they all work together. I know I spoke on it briefly in previous sessions, but I'm going to give you more of it today because we're sitting right in it. We are in Holy Week. And so all of our attention needs to be focused on what the Lord has done. Palm Sunday, we started off yesterday was Palm Sunday, where Jesus entered the new, he entered Jerusalem upon a donkey. And, you know, they call it Palm Sunday because during that time he was on a donkey and they were laying down palm branches and their coats. And he was riding upon a donkey. Now, the palm branches represents or characterizes victory and peace. Okay? The Lord was our Passover. During that time, years and years ago, prior to that, Pharaoh refused to let Israel go. They were in bondage. He had sent Moses on the scene to free his people. Pharaoh was being stubborn. God sent multiple plagues. Pharaoh still wouldn't budge. And so the Lord said, okay, well, I am going to send the death angel, and I'm going to take out the firstborn in every household. He gave Moses instructions. They were to kill a lamb and then smear its blood on their doorpost, on the front of their doorpost. And this lamb was to be, this lamb is right now doing, when they still celebrate Passover, though the Orthodox Jews that really don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah, they still slaughter the lamb at that time. In the afternoon, on the 14th day of Nisan, which is the Jewish, that's the Jewish calendar. So anyway, they were to kill the lamb and smear its blood on their doorpost. And when the death angel saw the blood on the doorpost, he would pass over. And that's how we got the term Passover. It means he would pass on by. That he wouldn't strike that house. He would pass by. But if the blood, he didn't see blood on the doorpost, then the firstborn of that house was killed. Okay, so the blood was actually saving that household. Because if the angel didn't see blood, death would come. The blood of that lamb was a type of the redemptive and salvation work of Christ. The blood of Christ, the Bible says the life is in the blood, and it is the shedding of blood that brings remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Okay, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says it's the wages of sin is death. That is what is required when we sin, and guess what? The Bible says all have sinned. So, because all have sinned, all is in need of a Savior, and so that's where Jesus comes in at as our Lamb, and as His blood was shed and covers us and saves us from the judgment of God, saves us from the wrath of God. His blood is our passage. It causes God to pass over. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For even Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." So this is a high time. It's a prime time of the year. God called Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those are the three holiest holidays of the year. Passover, or they call it the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Pentecost, or they call it the Feast of Weeks. And the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Tabernacles was simply a commemoration of the Jews when they did their 40-year wandering in the wilderness. They lived in booths or tents, and so it was easy to set up and easy to take down because they moved so frequently. And so they commemorate that during that time of year, and they call it the Feast of Tabernacle or the Feast of Booths. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they are celebrated together. And because the Feast of Unleavened Bread it happened simultaneously with the Passover. The Jews, when they were leaving Exodus, Egypt, or the Exodus, or the exit, they could not bake their bread with the leaven in it because it would not rise fast enough because they were out of there quickly. So they had to bake their bread without leaven. And leaven is a type of yeast that causes the bread to rise, but it wasn't used. So they ate the Passover and they ate the unleavened bread at the same time. So that is the reason why Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are celebrated at the same time. Leaven, okay, well, you may ask, well, what's wrong with leaven? Well, the Bible lets us know that leaven represents hypocrisy. It represents wickedness and malice, as found in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Corinthians the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 8. Unleavened bread represents purity and sincerity. Unleavened bread also represents simplicity and truth. Leaven represents hypocrisy in the scriptures. And if you can recall, when Jesus tells us to beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees, he was speaking of their hypocrisy and the wickedness and the malice that was in their heart. Okay, listen to this. John 12, verses 11 and 12, gives us the setting. He gives us the setting of Palm Sunday. It took place on the Sunday before Jesus' crucifixion. Palm Sunday took place on the Sunday right before Jesus' crucifixion. When Jesus entered the Jerusalem, the disciples and many of the people were throwing their coats on the ground and their palm branches, and Jesus was riding on a donkey that had never been ridden before. And the crowd was shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The spreading of the garments, let me tell you something. I often wonder, well, what does that mean? Why did they spread the garments on the ground like that? But I found out that the spreading of the garments before dignitaries, during that time, it was a symbol of submission. And the waving of the palm branches represented victory. And you can find the triumphant entry of Jesus. This was written, you may think this is insignificant, but this was written in all four of the Gospels. An account of this incident is found in all four of the Gospels. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, Mark 11, verses 1 through 11, Luke 19, verses 29 through 44, and John 12, verses 12 through 19. So the palm branches was taken, it was a token of victory. Let me tell you, what the crowd was hoping, what they were hoping at this time was that Jesus would set up his kingdom. They were hoping at that time that he would set his kingdom up and that he would overthrow their oppressors, which at that time was the Roman Empire. And so they were a bit confused. They were thinking Jesus was entering into Jerusalem to set up and become king and ruler, but Jesus had a whole different agenda. And it was prophesied that Jesus would come in on this donkey in Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Your king coming unto you. He is just in salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, even upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." So him coming in on this donkey like this was a fulfillment of prophecy. They were looking, like I said, for him to come in and set up his reign as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They were looking for him to rule and reign right now. They didn't know the whole plan. They didn't know that he was going to die. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, he knew what his purpose was. He knew that entering that city that he would not come back out. He knew that as he was entering Jerusalem within a few hours or a few days, I'm not sure if it was a few hours or a few days, because some people say he was killed on a Wednesday. You have some people saying he was killed on a Thursday. You have some people saying he was killed on a Friday. All I know is that he was killed during that week, okay? And 3 days from there, he rose again. He knew that when he was entering to die, they thought that's why they were giving him such accolades and praises, because they thought he was about to set himself up as king. He knew that he would be killed. He knew that he would be brutally murdered. He knew that he would be laughed at and given a mock trial and lied on and slapped in the face, and his hair from his beard would be pulled out. He knew that he would be beaten by the Roman soldiers and crucified. He knew that they were going to drive nails into his hands and feet, and it was more than he could stand, because if you look in the conversation that he was having with the Father in Gethsemane, Jesus didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. In his the human nature part of him did not want to go through that brutality that he knew was imminent, that was right upon him, right in his face. And so he had to wrestle in Gethsemane until he got in a place in the spirit where that spirit strengthened him to the point where he could surrender to the Father and drink that cup that God had given him. And when he got to that point in Gethsemane, he was able to say, okay, God, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew why he was coming in. He was the only one that knew, apparently, because everyone else was completely shocked when it all went down. I mean, they took off running. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. They went crazy in there. But they couldn't handle that his first coming was to suffer and die, and his second coming is to set up his kingdom. They didn't understand that, and so they it really messed them up a little bit. Well, a lot. So let's get back here on track. They thought that the kingdom was about to be fulfilled, but he was entering to take part of the plan of salvation, to become the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God, to shed his innocent blood, and which his innocent blood was only sufficient, the sinless blood was sufficient to settle our account. And the Lord Jesus gave his blood. And when that blood was shed, the price was paid in full. All of our sins from all of time, from Adam to the end of time, was paid in full. During that time, while in the upper room, okay, now this is when he is in the upper room eating his last supper with the disciples, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to tie this in to help you to understand how the Lord's Supper and the Passover go together. We call it communion. Some people call it the Last Supper. Some people call it the Lord's Supper. But they're all the same. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 26. He documents what the Lord Jesus did and what he said when he was in the upper room. And when he had given thanks, he said, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken. That's a key word, for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the New Testament, the New Testament covenant. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you do it, this bread, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So the Lord the Lord's Supper involved the bread and the wine. And let me tell you, when you're offering the Lord's Supper, when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, it involves the breaking of the bread, the partaking of the bread, and the drinking of the wine, and it is preceded by a prayer or a blessing. He instituted that for us. The bread. Let's talk about the bread. The bread, Christ clearly explained what the bread represents. He says it represents his body. Partaking of the bread in communion, we are acknowledging Jesus as our source of life, okay? When we partake of the bread in communion, we are acknowledging Jesus as our source of life. Now, how is that? Well, Jesus says he's the bread of life. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread he shall, the bread that I give him is my flesh, and I will give it for my life, and that's found in John 6:51. So Jesus gave his life for our life. It's a life for a life. It's a life for a life. It was an exchange for his holiness and his righteousness and his purity for our wickedness, our sinfulness, and our unrighteousness. It was a divine exchange on the cross. He illustrated that his body would be broken when he says to break the bread. It would be broken in order that we may have life. Also, the broken body of Jesus ushered in the new covenant. He says this is a new covenant, which is, now let me tell you, you have an old covenant and you have a new covenant. Jesus said, as I just quoted to you, that this cup is the New Testament or the new covenant, which indicates that there was an old covenant, and the old covenant was that sacrificial system of burning the goats and lambs and bulls. Now, he says, so this was signified that the old covenant was done away with, and he had now set in place the new covenant by the indication of the veil of that sacrificial system being torn from top to bottom without hands. Well, what does that mean, without hands? That means the Lord tore it. It was a divine indication that God was no longer pleased with that system. He had now instituted a new system. That old system would not be sufficient because it was not necessary, because now the new Passover, the real Passover, the genuine Passover, the thing which you were looking forward to in that sacrificial system has now come and has now been fulfilled. So the old was no longer necessary. The killing of bulls and goats were only a reminder of what was to come. Now, back then, before Jesus came, when they killed bulls and goats, they were looking forward to what their Messiah was coming to do. He was coming to die for their sins. But now that Jesus had come, the very person being God had now showed up and actually did what that sacrificial system was representing, the sacrificial system was no longer necessary. So Jesus says, okay, that's no longer necessary. I'm doing away with that. The veil was ripped from top to bottom. He says, now I give you a new covenant. And the new covenant is, now you remember what I have done. My body was broken and my blood was shed. And now this you do in remembrance of me. So the sacrificial system looked forward to what will be done, and the communion looks back to what has already been done. I want you to also, you know, I'm going to close this up in just a few minutes, because I want to give you the poem that I, of thanksgiving that I wrote about the Lord. Breaking of bread, let me tell you, when you come together with communion, it is also a fellowship within the body. It says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread, Jesus Christ, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 10:17. The cup represents the blood of Jesus, and when it is poured out, it represents the death of Jesus. Leviticus says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls. The blood of Jesus makes atonement, and that word atonement means reconciliation, reparation for a wrong that was done or an injury, an amendment. So the blood of Jesus brought back together communion of fellowship, God and man. I want to give you also just a little warning when you are taking communion, and that is do not take, I do not advise, and the Bible does not advise unbelievers and hypocrites to partake in the communion, because in 1 Corinthians 11:27-28, it says, "You, if you eat and drink unworthily, you can bring, you can eat and drink damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body." So you don't want to bring down a curse upon your own self by drinking, and you're not a Christian, and you're living a hypocritical life. You can resolve that by prayer and repenting and asking the Lord to forgive you and turn from your way, those ways that don't please God. But in the meantime, if you haven't done that, I would not advise you to partake of the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to close right there because I want to give you like a 1 and 1.5 minute prayer. I wrote it a few years ago, and it was in when I was around this time of year, as a matter of fact, when I was reflecting on the goodness of God, and it's entitled "Thank You." Thank you for everything you've done. Here we go. When I think of all the things you've done and all that I've been through, of the many times my soul would faint, but your spirit pulled me through. When I think of the times you encouraged my soul, you sent your word to lift me up, and the times you closed doors that were open and opened doors that were once shut. My soul says thank you. My soul says thank you for closely watching over me, guiding me through the shadowed valley of death, maneuvered around snares I could not see. Your faithfulness towards me, O Lord, is more than I can comprehend. You're closer to me than my own brother, more loyal than family or friend. When I think of all the goodness of the Lord and all my sins you forgive, of your mercy you extend, on your grace I depend, and the will you give me to live, my soul says thank you. My soul says thank you for the blessings are given to me. When I think of the bountiful grace of the Lord and the wonderful gifts you provide, of your love that abides, of your peace that guides, and the presence of God that resides, my soul says thank you. My soul says thank you for your vast creativity, for the stars that you flung, for the planets that you hung. In the image of God, you created me. When I think of the great sacrifice of God, you died on Calvary, of your blood that was shed for my sins, my Lord bled so that I may gain eternity. For the shame you endured, death's keys you procured, oh, your matchless love you shower upon me. Lord, my soul says thank you. My soul says thank you. And I want to end this program. I thank you all for listening. For those that have not made Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can repeat this simple prayer after me and just mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. Write my name in the book of life. I thank you for dying on the cross. I believe that you are my Lord, and I accept you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And I thank you so very much for tuning in and listening to me again. My name is Tracy Harding. Tune in to me every Monday at 8 p.m., and I am going to turn the program back over to my dear brother, Dr. Hunter.
Okay, well, I want to leave it online. Does anybody have a statement or comments they want to make what she just talked about a few minutes ago? To add to what she had to say, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Amen, amen. I am so glad that Tracy brought that message forth as a reminder. And for those who didn't know that the Festival of Passover was an annual holiday honoring the night when God passed over the homes of the Israelites. I thank God for that because it's a lot of people don't know. And either a lot of people have forgotten or they don't think about it, what the Passover was all about. And the Hebrews followed God's instruction by smearing the blood on the doorpost, and it was just they was following God's instruction, and the unleavened bread, it could be made so quickly because it didn't have any yeast in it, and they could leave it any time. And the bitter herbs in there was of the bitterness of the place they were in. They was even dressed for the travel, and they did it by faith, you know. So I am so glad that she brought that message forward because it need to be, you know, people need to hear that, and they need to know what the Passover is all about. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I got my other person coming in, so I will ask y'all to stay and listen because we can be together on this night for just a few minutes. Sonia's coming on now. Sonia, are you there?
Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh,
hello.
Praise the Lord. You know, God is good to me. I just praise
Amen.
God right now for this chance to be with you all again. It's such a blessing. You know, even
Amen.
Though at the moment, you're traveling, you know, God is still good, no matter where you are
Amen.
And what's going on in your life. You know, one
Amen.
Thing about the Lord is he's covered everything that we have need of. And,
uh-huh.
you know, it's just amazing, you know, when we see the goodness of God and what he's done for us. It's a complete package, nothing missing and nothing broken.
Nothing.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, today we were... What hit us this morning was a scripture that Jesus read, and I'm so sorry that I wasn't able to get on a little bit earlier to hear what was said before me, so I don't want to be redundant, but I do want to give you what I got today, which is I'm turning to it right now, Isaiah, I think it's 61, when Jesus read the scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. Excuse me, let me close this door for a second.
Amen.
Sorry about that. Okay. Let me start over with this. Isaiah, 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And Isaiah 61, verse 2 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, recently I had been talking with a friend I haven't heard from in about 8 years. She called me, and we met at church in New York City at Times Square Church. And we fellowshipped, you know, really close fellowship, but I haven't heard from her since my baby shower with my 10-year-old. So, you know, that's been a long time. But, you know, she called me with a broken heart. And you know what came up this morning as I was speaking to her? you know, I always pray that the Lord use me with people, you know. And what he spoke through me was this verse, that he came, that he was sent to bind up the brokenhearted. I said, girl, you in the perfect spot for Jesus right now. You know, everything we go through, every situation we have, every heartbreak we have, any healing we need, is nothing outside of what God can't do for you. God has an answer for everything that we go through. And this is a prime example. Jesus read this, and this is about Jesus. This was a prophecy about him. But when he read that scripture, he sat down and just looked at the people. He said, the truth has been what you just heard is standing right before you. That's my purpose. And you know what? God has he has a solution for everything we go through. You know, I get word everywhere. I get word, you know, when I'm sitting there watching Disney movies with my children, I get a message from the Lord out of all kind of stuff. But I was on the playground with a lady last week, and you know what she said to me? She talked about the time when Jesus was just coming off the mountain of Transfiguration. And when they brought that boy to him, the dad brought his son to the disciples to heal him. And they couldn't heal him, so they came to Jesus with the boy. And Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, you know, how long must I deal with you? But before he said that, he healed that boy. And the lady said, you know what? Whatever it is, Jesus will tell you, bring the problem to me. I said, ooh, that's good. That's good. And, you know, when we bring it to Jesus, we got to believe that he is who he said he is. Now, he said he binds up the brokenhearted. He said he's anointed to preach good tidings unto the meek, that he's been sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, if that don't cover all our situations, what does? You know, all we got to do is believe him. We got to believe God over our situations and circumstances. We got to believe God over the report of the doctor. We've got to believe God over what we see. We need to act like we believe. You know, some people get the report from the doctor, and they just in shambles. Well, they believe that more than they believe that he was sent, that he was sent here to do what he did, and he did it. When he got on the cross, and the last thing he said is, it is finished. He did everything. He defeated the works of the devil. The Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquity. That means our sins are forgiven if we come to him. That the chastisement of our peace, come on now, was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We heal from spiritual, physical, mental, physical, emotional, all of it. We heal from bitter experiences. We are healed. We've got to believe that. It is a belief issue. If we are believers, we got to believe what God says. And when we pray, we need to believe. If you don't believe, you're just wasting time. You know, the bottom line is we need to believe. It says it in the Bible, John 11:40. If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. You know, those three Hebrew boys and Daniel, they believed. They told that king, look here, we're not going to bow down. Now, I don't know what you got to do, king, but you do what you got to do. But we're not going to bow down to you. They said, we know our God is a deliverer. Now, whether he do it or not, he's still a deliverer. I said, them some bad boys. Them some bad boys right there. Now, the people that took them to the furnace was burned up. They walked to that furnace now. They walked. They wasn't struggling. They wasn't tripping. They said, okay, let's go. They believed. Daniel did not fight with them people when he was going to the lion den. Daniel walked in that den. He believed. And let me tell you who started believing with Daniel. That king started believing that night. You can read it. He sat there and fasted all night, but that morning he got up, he went to the lion den calling Daniel. Now, if you believe somebody been eat up by lions, you wouldn't be calling nobody. You tell the guards, go in there and get him. Now, he went and said, oh, Daniel. The king was even a believer. When we are believers, our actions show it. I came in here and sat down in this chair. I believed this chair was going to hold me. I didn't check it. I didn't inspect it. I didn't go up under it. I didn't do nothing but sit down. I didn't even think about the chair. And that's the way we got to be with the Word of God. That woman with the issue of blood, she believed. Now, and if you know this Bible and you know what happens to women, they're on their cycle, they come out the house. Back in that day, you don't come out no house.
My God.
You didn't do that. If you did that, there were some actions that would take place. She didn't even think about that because she believed if I would touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And she got more out of that. When she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed and made whole. Come on now. When we touch God with belief, we get the whole package. You're not going to miss out. You're not going to lose out. You'll lose out if you put your belief in the world, put your belief in your check, put your belief in what they say. That woman lost all her money for 12 years putting her belief in the doctor. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I ain't say that. I said believe God.
Amen. Jesus.
Because he is who he say he is. Now, the Bible says that it's, you know, that God is looking for us to believe him. The only way we can please God is by believing what he say.
Amen.
If we don't do that, where are we? Unbelief is evil. It say it in Hebrews. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And for the ones that don't know what I'm talking about, it's in there. All you got to do is just go to the back of the concordance and look up believe. But for the unbeliever that's on the line tonight, God is everything you need. God is what we need for a world that's in disarray, that you know, when there's hopeless, God has hope for us. You know, you need to turn your life over to Jesus tonight. You know, the thing about it, this is a win-win situation, a win-win. We know where we're going. We know who we're serving. God has eternal life for us. In his word, it says that for God so loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know where you're going when you die. And you know what's happening on this earth because he said he made a way. He defeated the works of the enemy on this cross. He died so that we could be healed, that we could have peace, so that we could have eternal life, so that we can have a hope on this earth, and eternally. We don't have to live without knowing. You know, people are always trying to find themselves. Okay, find yourself in Christ. He did everything. All he asked us to do was believe. That's how simple it is. And see, it's a work from the inside out. It ain't no self-help book you can go to Barnes & Noble to buy. See, I used to be the queen of self-help now. I had all the books. You know, I was going to fix this thing up myself. No, you can't do it. But you can't. But he asked us to surrender and let him do it. Now, if that ain't the best deal, I don't know what is. All you got to do is believe. That's the best deal you can get. Because when I say it's the best deal, you know, like I was saying the last time I was on, that I've been around these other different religions. If you don't do your five prayers a day as you're a Muslim, you done missed out. And they don't know where they're going when they leave here. They still trying to figure this thing out. That's what they tell me now. Because I have some close relationships with some. And I said, well, I'm sorry for that, but I know where I'm going. And you can go the same place, too. Because God is no respecter person. You know, he tell us to come as we are. Ain't nothing you can do to clean up. But you can't come like you are. Transvestites can come like you are. You know, you done had $1 million operation to do the, you know what they call it, the sexual reassignment. You know, what God gonna he'll take care of that. We ain't trying to clean the fish before we catch him. God got you covered. He tell you to come too. Whoever you are, whatever you have done in your life, it don't matter. You can come like you are. God will take care of that. Holy Spirit know how to clean you. Holy Spirit know how to clean me too. It's a constant work that's going on. We're being transformed. Come on and be transformed too. You know, God accepts you like you are. But he changes you when you confess your sins. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. and I choose Jesus as my Lord tonight.
Yes.
Forgive me of my sins. And I'm ready to move on with you, Lord God. That's all it takes,
yes,
right there.
That's all it takes.
That's all he's looking for us to do is believe him.
Hallelujah.
That's all he's looking for is believe. If you believe him, if we will believe, we will see the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. And what we want to do is let God have his way. We don't want to do it man's way. We don't want to do it religion way. Come on now. All this customs and traditions, they move God out the play, out of the way, and they exalt themselves over it. These customs and tradition have run folks out the church.
Amen.
People need the Lord. We need God. And you know what? God has made himself available. And he made himself available to all of us. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God is a God of peace. He's a God of love. Hallelujah. And he loves us.
Hallelujah.
He loves you. God loves you. He loves me. And he says, come.
Yes. Come.
Amen.
Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. You put the fire, you start the fire tonight on the radio station. Good.
Let's
God
stir it up. We, you know what? The revival have to start with us.
Yeah.
Revival have to start with you first, me first.
Yes.
And once we come together, we the revival. Come on now, we the church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
The lines are wide open. The lines are wide open. Anybody got some statement I want to put in what's been said? Amen. The lines
Amen.
Are wide open.
Amen.
I know this much. I'll say this. I have heard a woman speak.
Amen.
And all the women speak.
Hallelujah.
But the W-O-M-E-N, y'all got the punch. Y'all got the punch. Y'all got the punch. When I say punch, when you put the word, you push it in. You say, here it is, take it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Anybody else on the line? Well, I will say this one tonight. One thing I will say to her, because we got 12 minutes left, but I will say this. Sonia, the Lord has called you to do what you're doing. I say to you and to all the women who are listening around the world, we, the body of Christ, and I like what God has you to say. You say a lot of people in the church have run the people in the church away from the church. It's time that we go and get them back into the church. It's time for us to go and get them back into the church. And that's about the best thing I can say to all of us that are on the radio tonight. Because I don't know, I've been having such a great time in the Lord. It seems like everything I've been doing thus far has been succinctly falling in my word of prayer, my time of prayer, my obedience to God. And I'm just saying, Lord, whatever you have me to do, I'll do it. That's all. Whatever it is, Lord, I'll do it.
Amen.
And whatever you want to do, Lord, I'll do it. And that's That's the complex I have. Lord, whatever you have me to do, I'll do it. Now, see, I ain't worried about that other fella, as sister said today. He know the word. We just gonna let him go. You just the enemy. You read the word enemy, you're defeated. But I tell you, Lord, have mercy. Sonia, God use you women tonight. And you know what? I've been looking for the men on the radio station. You know what? I have to say, Lord, where are my men? Where are my men? Can some of y'all help me tonight? Where are my men? Hello, women. Where are my men? Where are my men, sisters? Hello? Does anybody hear me out there? Any men's out there? Are they scared? They got like a big line, they got no teeth, ain't got no paw. I need some help. Somebody, come on now. Hallelujah. Woo. Nobody but the living God. Nobody but the living God.
Thank
and you know
God.
What I look back at? That's all. Amen. Somebody got a word, go ahead and say it.
I want to thank God for Sister Sonny. I just want to thank her for that message. I tell you, that is truly, it was just truly awesome. You know, and the great invitation, the supper that God prepared, she just brought that out. I mean, and I mean, it was just, you know, and like she said, she had a friend that she hadn't spoken with, and she called her with a broken heart. You know, that let us know to keep bread at our lips at all times, because we don't never know when we might get a call. We want to meet God, you know, when he comes, have someone to call. We want to keep bread at our lips, you know, and that reminded me of a lady calling me Sarah, and, you know, and it just reminded you've got to be ready.
You've got to be ready.
Because you never know when somebody may need you. Amen?
Amen. 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 Well, tonight's the night that we know this is Passover. I want to thank God for everybody that's on the line. We still have more time. We have another person supposed to come on. But I want to say this. To those of you who have accepted what I have sent to you, I thank my God for you. Because I believe we've made an impact. But we're finna put a big foot down. Do y'all know what the big foot is? Because if you go and read 2 Samuel, you'll find they said, God, you have enlarged my footsteps. God has made our footsteps wide so that we will not slip when we walk. We're living in a time in the world where the world does not agree with us, but we have got to keep saying it. Tonight at 4 o'clock, for Central Standard Time and across the United States of America, if you can be woke at that time, you'll see the blood moon tonight. And the blood moon give us two things. It could be what's going to happen in Israel, good or bad, what's going to happen at the end of the world. We don't even know, but only God knows. But it's a sign and a signal for us to stay ready. We got to stay ready because he's for us. And somebody out there listening, and I know we got some people listening, my heart is rejoicing. My heart is rejoicing. Why? Because everything I have asked God for this day, God has met my need. Hallelujah. Everything I've asked God for, he's met my need.
Amen.
I told someone, they said, I can't do it today. What about tomorrow? I don't know about tomorrow. And he said, why do you don't know about tomorrow? Because tomorrow ain't promised to me. Today is, I'm looking for the Lord now. I'm already in a ready mode. And they talk in the military, are you ready for the fire? Are you ready for the fire? Ready for the fire? Ready for the fire? And I tell you, the one thing we need to do more is pray more about what's happening over there in the Middle East. Because does anybody know what happened today? Anybody know what happened today? Anybody? Hello? Well, let me tell you. Huh? See, I keep my eyes on what's in the world. I keep my eyes on what's going on in God, because as a leader, you've got to be wise of everything. When you take notice, Russia decide they're going to get some airplanes and try to sneak around for American, and America notified them by jamming their airplanes. The airplane can do nothing. I said, see there? That's the kind of God. God has put America in a position for the present time to obey God. But Putin wants to go ahead and he wants to be a bully, like Slewfoot. He wants to be a bully. Want to come in and take over We rule. We dudes a bunch of thugs. Thugs, y'all know what a thug is. A thug is an ungodly man, woman. A thug. A thug. That's what mama call you, knucklehead. And so I say this. We pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for the peace of America. We pray for the peace that those who lost their way, that they will find their way, come to meet Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because we're living in a time now where we are, God established this radio station. It came from much prayer, much heartache, most disappointment, but I stayed the course. And I'm saying to you, because you're staying the course, God's going to give all we have been asking for. And I tell you this much, we support each other through prayer, some on the East Coast, some down south, some up in Texas, some maybe over in California, some might be the other continent, but we will stand firm. Mm-hmm. When you read that book from Isaiah 65, 61, and I begin to read that, but you know, if I may say this, in Isaiah, the 66 chapters that Isaiah wrote, it also put us into the titum of the Bible, because it lets us know the 66 chapters, 66 books that we make mention of, particularly one. In Isaiah chapter, he says, it was a year that King Uzziah, did he live or die? Did King Uzziah live or die? Anybody? Hello? Radio, are you there? Sonia? Amen. I guess I'm the only one. Is everybody back on the radio with me?
I'm on the radio, Dr. Hunter.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm on the radio.
That's all right. I know that all the lines over. But I'm just saying, because one of the things that I take note is Isaiah said it was in the year that the Lord was highly lifted up. See, he went in because his uncle, Isaiah, was a high priest. He figured if he could do it, he could go and do the same thing. You know something, we get people in the church like that. Well, if they laid hands on, we can go in there and do it also. And look what happened. He said, that's when he met the Lord, high and lifted up. He said, and he just fell to his face. We saw three second the throne of God. Then those angels had six wings, three to cover, three to fly, three to cover themselves. But they had him there because the cherubims, God is such a merciful God. Amen. He loves us. He loves us.
Amen.
He loves us.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody got a word they want to speak? Go ahead. Because tonight's the night that I say that I'm glad I was able to be with you, my beloved, on this particular night, because we watch God do some awesome things for us and through us. And what we need to do is continue to pray, continue to believe, continue to say, God, we are able. Because we're able because God has made us able. Amen.
Amen.
And a lot of
Amen.
Us know that we know that we know. Amen. We have to pray one for the other. One Amen. Thing I will say to those who know, because if you have not seen the enemy rise like never before, he's going to challenge it. He's going to challenge it because he's got his right to, that is his right to challenge us. But it's our challenge to say, nope, ain't going to do it. Covered by the blood.
Amen.
Covered by the blood. When we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are covered to do what God has ordained us to do. And this
Amen.
God we serve, he does not, my God, Oh, Jesus. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I don't even know what to say. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited, and I'm so glad to be a part of what God is doing for KSK and doing through you, Dr. Hunter, and it's just a blessing. It's a blessing to be used by God, to be called by God, and it's an honor.
It is. It is.
It is nothing but a blessing. To be used by God, and God thought enough about me and about you and to call us into the ministry to help win souls. I mean, it's just a blessing. It is a blessing.
It is. And, you know, this is the first time that I can say this is, I do have a man on the line with me. What happened to my man? Where my man at? They are shooting, okay?
Well, you have to surrender to the Lord. You know, God calls men and he calls women, but you have to be obedient. You know,
yes.
You have to surrender. You have to surrender. And you have to say no to self sometimes.
Yes.
And put things in proper perspective and prioritize, you know. And, you know, if you're going to do the Lord's will, that's what must be done.
Mm-hmm.
And working for the Lord and serving God requires a great degree of self-sacrifice. A great degree of self-sacrifice, I mean. As a minister of the Most High God, every minister is called to pray. Every minister is called to get in the Word of God and study. And ministers are called to be, they're inconvenienced at times, and so you have to put self aside.
Yes.
So that's my response to that.
Amen. Well, I'm praying for the men. I love them, and I know sometimes while some of this playing hooky, Some of them don't want to be caught in their own trap.
That's what self-sacrifice comes in, Dr. Hunter.
I know.
That's what self-sacrifice comes in.
Yes. Let me see here. We got a person on line. Hold on. Monica?
Yes, Dr. Hunter, how we doing? Yes.
I'm doing. Well, I got some people on live on to hear what you got to tell us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh. Heavenly Father God, he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way with a sound mind and an humble heart. He didn't wake me up in the prison or in the jail. He didn't wake me up and I had to go to the courthouse. He did not wake me up on the hospital, laying on my back, incompetent. He woke me up with a sound mind and an humble heart. He woke me up giving him praise and giving him honor and giving him thanks, thanking him for another day, thanking him for his holy Bible that he wrote, him and his disciples wrote, thanking him for sacrificing his son, something that no one else really has done for another human being. And I just give him all the glory and I give him all the praise for favor, wisdom, anointing, guidance, discernment, healing, forgiveness, character, class.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, I mean, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And for the ministry that he has given me to save souls, he's done so much for me, for I cannot tell it all. I will show it, but I cannot tell it all in 1 minute or in an hour. But by the grace of God, he will use me and many people that want to help me with ministry world, with the gospel world, to save souls, and we will do far more greater things than what they did 2,000 years ago. We will multiply to the 1,000 power, and we're going to go to the enemy's camp fully armored And Jesus is going to be there before we get there. He's going to be there while we're there, and he's going to be there when we leave. And we're going to take back what the enemy has taken from us. The Israelites, things have been taken from them, and they don't even much realize it. Okay? I mean, outside of the Bible, Jesus Christ wants his people educated in math, in science, in English, being physicists, being professors in algebra, being in the entertainment business, being athletes, especially, I would say, in the entertainment business, because being their children are there grasping what they're seeing on television. We even will, we sit together like Gorilla Glue. We even have circular people doing things for Jesus Christ, putting it in every once in a while, thanking God for this and thanking God for that, and giving them praise for all the right reasons. Because, see, God's not going to bless no mess. And my people out there, you need to know that what you do for God will last forever. His blessings are not just a temporary thing. His blessings, you will have paved the way for your children's too. But many of us are like, we are Abrahams. We're going to have to leave a lot of people behind. Okay, Dr. Hunter?
I'm here. I'm listening. I'm praying for you. I'm listening. God bless you. Continue.
We're going to have to get into the Bible and then let the Bible get into us. I like listening to John Hagee and Bishop T.D. Jakes because a lot of it, from the top of our head down to the soles of our feet, we need a 24-karat future. We need a 180 in our lives, and we need to learn how to drown generational curses, drown 360s, drown the bank of poverty, because we do need finance to do his work. And I have found that, but in our gifts and talents, there are many of them. Many of us Christians, we choose not to use them. But we have to pray our way into it. We have to talk our way into it. Then we need to go to more social functions. With these functions, they need to be ministry functions, where we're only doing things for Jesus Christ. If we just start off with 2 booths and 12 people and pass our flyers to 300 people, and we get 10%, that's 30 people, we have started something. And underneath the blood of Jesus, it will grow. It will grow bigger than the Woodlands Mall. I mean, this, our God is the God of blow my mind, okay?
Yeah.
His report will not come back void. As long as we know that we are doing something and we pray before we do it and we give him the blueprints for it, it will be blessed. And sometimes, no, my fellow Christians, does that mean never? It just means that you might need a stronger hedge of protection over you. You might need to learn how to keep the devil underneath your feet, and you need to go to Jesus Christ and have him to teach you how to be a blessing to yourself, and then show you, because there's this thing called protocol and appearance, and it's just certain ways that you approach a situation that many people don't know. Even in the Christian world, it's a certain way that you go about capturing the souls. It's a certain way that God wants his people, some melancholy, some choleric, to go out there and capture the souls for the people. And sometimes it's not always just in the church house. Sometimes it's more personal because sometimes we can be dealing with a lot of supines in the world, people that want you coming in and talking to them one-on-one. They're like, well, I don't want to be around those people. I love church and I love God, but it's just the people in there. See, the devil knows what scares us. He knows our fears. And there are a lot of supine people out there that you can mix them in with a choleric, and they're very business-oriented. They can go out there and they can do things in 5 different languages and capture souls, okay? And within those 5 different languages, those people, their parents know this person, their uncles know that person, their cousins can sew and type and do all kinds of printing work, and you'd just be amazed how by one person. You know, a lot of times God does make us peculiar people. He keeps us on the shelf. And he's looking for that certain person for you to connect with.
Yes. Yes.
So just building the kingdom of God, and it's been a journey for me. But I thank God that I went to the Bible school of Emmanuel Temple and the growth. And when we had to turn in our thesis, Dr. Takura said, "I have a strong 4 people in here Dr. Wright, and it was a psychological thing, but it was something of maturity. It was saying, God, I love you this much. I'm not going to just turn it in, but I'm going to show up. And I don't even much like missing class days. I don't like missing assignments, anything. I don't like half-stepping with it. Sometimes when they be wanting 2,100 words, I give them 2,200.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, God is good all the time, and I'd rather have him than silver and gold.
Amen. Anybody got any questions they want to speak to her? A statement they want to make concerning what she said? Hello?
Amen, amen. The sister's so right. I thank God for her because she's so right about, you know, sometimes we have to, there's all different kinds of people with all different kinds of temperament. And so there are people who really stir up your spirit, and there's some who kill your spirit. You got to know who you're walking with. You know, you got to know who you're walking with. There's people that stir up your spirit. You can get with them, and man, you just flow like a river. You know, the world, and you just flow. So we have to know, you know, get to know people. We associate with people, but then we don't become like them in the world. And so she's so right on that. So we just have to, a lot of times we have to pray for people, even on our jobs and our walk, our everyday life, at home or wherever, we have to pray for people and get to know people by their temperaments and different things and just pray and ask God to show us. And like I say, some people really will stir up your spirit and get you moving. The clerics, like she say, hey, they're go-getters. You know, they're business-type people. They're out for whatever reason they are. If they're spiritual, they're for spiritual reasons. And those kind of people will stir up your spirit. You know, so we want to get with people who will enhance us, iron sharpen iron, and we want to get with people like that.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, tonight I want to say this to y'all. I'm going to give us 3 more minutes. I'm going to say this. The God we have served thus far has been an awesome God. And without the God who made it all, in Psalm 121 it says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heavens and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved, for he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. My prayer to God is, in continuation, is that he keep Israel moreover, that he will keep the body of Christ. And as we say what we say, the more we love God, he will cause us as the sun to rise upon me, upon my right side, and the moon on my night. He said, but the Lord shall take me out and bring me back in safe. The Lord has given me a promise. And one thing I know that you know, that I know you know, is that our God is an awesome God. And God is laughing at the work the devil has done and trying to stop the body of Christ. We are of the body of Christ. And I will say this to you in no one else have in other words, I will move to the next level and put on Kenneth Hagin's tapes. If anybody got a word to say tonight, if not, I love you. I give you, he taught me to say something. Hallelujah. And remember, I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And so until the next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.